This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program and our first show of 2015 here on the USEA's official podcast. I'm Chris Stafford, and on the show today we're going to hear from Caitlin Silliman about her new partnership with the Young Event Horse East Coast five-year-old champion Vagabond de Chandu, who she recently purchased from William Coleman. And Caitlin will also have our training tip of the week. But first, Rob Burke, the Chief Operating Officer, joins me now to tell us what we can look forward to in 2015. Welcome back to the program, Rob, and a Happy New Year.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I thought it was a good way to start off the new year by talking about what we can expect from the USEA office, because there are so many different programs and you've got some breaking news as well, some deadlines, a little bit of everything.
We do, yeah. The beginning of the year is always great for us because we do get a little bit of relaxation time. The calls slow down a little bit in December, but then everything starts picking back up again in January, and it's no different this year. We're on the cusp of a new competition season, so as a result, we're starting to get a lot of renewals, membership renewals around this time, and we'll be sending out all the membership cards this week to those who've already renewed for the year. And then in addition to that, early on here in the year, we've got some great educational activities that, you know, I know you've done some great coverage of on your program so far, including the ICP Instructor Certification Program. Is pleased to have Christopher Bartle coming into town in California January 16th through 17th, and then in Florida January 19th through 20th. So that'll be really exciting, and I'm hoping we get a wonderful turnout of interested folks to sit in on that and participate. And then early on in February, we have another educational activity we're offering out there to those down in Florida and those who want to travel there. The Young Event Horse and Future Event Horse programs are putting on what they're calling the Young Horse Symposium, and they'll have a fantastic lineup of speakers. And not to demean anybody on that list, because it's a great list of speakers, but I know that David O'Connor is also planning to participate with that. So those, for anybody who wants to get involved with those, they can go to our website, useventing.com, and they can get their sign-up form there to be able to attend. And then we've got, in the next week or so, we'll be releasing the full list of calendar dates for all of our programs, as you mentioned. We've got the classic series for those three-day, the long format enthusiasts out there. Those calendar dates will be released. The Future and Young Horse Competition calendar will be released. The Attaquan USEA Gold Cup series will be officially released, although we've already had a couple of those in the books at the end of last year, including Woodside and as well as Plantation, that will count towards this year's championship qualifier. And the Charles Owen Tech Merit program, which is really, there are 10 area events highlighted throughout the year where we have a guest judge sit in and judge the how well the rider rides a series of cross-country jumps. It's kind of unexpected for a lot of our competitors who are at these selected area events, but at the end of the day, they get a prize, and they're also qualified for some year-end awards, which are pretty fabulous, thanks to our sponsor, Charles Owen. Competition-wise, we've got, you know, the traditional fabulous lineup of events coming forward this year, and the one that we are most closely involved in every year is the American Eventing Championships, scheduled for September 24th and 27th through 27th this year back in Texas. We're looking forward to that. And we also just announced in the last month that we are looking for requests of expressions of interest. So any facility organizer, competition organizer, or operator or owner that is interested in hosting future American Eventing Championships can send in a request of interest. That doesn't exclude anyone who's done it in the past, and it definitely includes anybody who would love to do it in the future who hasn't done it yet. We're just doing our due diligence to look at all the potential sites out there and really find the best home for the AAC. And you know, it's not saying that this is a permanent location or rotational. We're just looking at all the options, and then we'll bring that back forward to the Board of Governors for their decision moving forward. And then, as always, at the end of the year, we're going to have our annual convention in Washington, D.C. this year, and it's a big year. It's a Hall of Fame year, so we'll have our new inductees into the Hall of Fame. So that always is one of our biggest annual conventions. So we're really excited for that. And then, you know, just our staff will continue to do great work, including putting out our Eventing USA magazine. We've got a new editor this year. Leslie Mintz steps back into the USA role, taking over the magazine, and we're really looking forward to her energy that she's going to be bringing to that. And then, just as always, we'll continue our online coverage of all the goings-on in the world of eventing in the USA. And really, on our website, we try to focus on all the topics that are most important to our membership so that everybody is up to speed on what's going on. And although we are mostly just a spectator for it because it's in Canada this year, we're all looking forward to watching the Pan Am Games in July. So, you know, it's a big year, just like always, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, you mentioned the new program calendar that will be ready shortly, and of course there's a new program with the Charles Owen Technical Merit, isn't there?
Yeah, it's still relatively new. We've you know, for the last year or two, we've been kind of experimenting with it, but I think we've found a really good formula. What happens is we have the judges at these 10 area events throughout the country, they will be selected from either our highest level ICP instructors or from eventing officials and really people who know what they're looking at when they're looking at the safe riding. That's the key here. They observe the rider and as they go along, and it's less of an observation of the horse and more of an observation on how safely the rider is approaching the obstacles. And it's pretty exciting. And as I said, it's a really nice addition for those people who are already competing at these events and didn't know that, hey, at the end of the day, they might get a helmet or they might get a vest out of it or a voucher. It's a pretty special thing to tack onto that list of awards for the person who might not have won the division, but yet they displayed really good riding around the course.
And there was also news of a new sponsorship from Rider Alert.
Yeah, Ride Alert bracelets. They are, as you said, a new sponsor for us. They've been reaching out to us for quite some time, trying to come on board, really with a strong interest in providing their services to the USCA members. And along with that sponsorship, they'll be offering a discount. So anytime someone wants to purchase a bracelet from their company, they will be eligible for a discount on that purchase. And I'm trying to look it up right now as I talk to you. 20% discount for current members and new members in 2015 off of the regular registration, Ride Alert registration. So it's a great deal for our USCA members, and it really keeps in with our focus on safety. You know, we're always working to make this sport as safe as we can possibly make it, and this really follows along with that. They're a great company, and we're very happy to have them on board.
Do you want to speak to the Gold Cup Series at all, Rob, and where that's going to kick off?
Sure, yeah. So with the Gold Cup Series, we did have, at the end of last year, like I said, we had our September competition at Plantation Field as the first qualifier for 2015, and then followed by Woodside. But that was in October. But coming up in March, we'll have Red Hills, their three-star. One thing that is going to be new this year for the Attaquan USA Gold Cup Series is that those riders who are trying to qualify for the end-of-year championship to be held at the AEC, they will now be able to count their qualifying scores. Essentially, what we're going to do is at competitions like Red Hills, both their CIC three-star and their advanced division will be considered a qualifier for the AEC Gold Cup Championship. So we're giving a little more opportunity for riders who, whether they're going in the CIC three-star or whether they're going in the advanced competition at the same event, were designated as a Gold Cup Series event. So a little more opportunity for those folks to qualify. We know we had a couple of people who really wanted to ride in the Gold Cup last year, and they might have been competing in the advanced division, but not necessarily the CIC three stars. So this will give them a little more opportunity to make it to the championship.
And as always, you can find a lot more information and details on the website. That new website is keeping everyone up to date, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, we're very happy with the redesign. You know, as with anything, I always hear from some people how much more they love the new design, and then I'll hear from a few other people who say, "Oh, they really miss the old." And I understand change is difficult, but I really think it's a lot easier to navigate the new website, especially if you are coming into the sport for the first time and don't necessarily understand all the terminology that those of us that have been in it for a while know without having to think about it. But we're pretty excited about the design, and I think our members will be able to benefit a lot more from the current layout.
And not forgetting the continual updates on social media.
Yeah, we've got great staff. I should definitely mention Caroline Culbertson has really done a fabulous job over the past year. She's taken over the duties of the editor of our website and social content. And what we try, as I said before, we try to put forward all the information that our members absolutely need to know. And she's done a fabulous job of creating kind of a very logical calendar and layout, and it makes a lot of sense throughout the year for you to follow. It's not all over the place. You know you're going to get some new content throughout the week. You know it's going to have some very topical social media posts that relate to the online coverage. So we're very happy with what's going on right now online.
And we will, of course, keep people up to date through the podcast with news, views, and interviews that happen throughout USEA, as always, Rob. And I think this is one way, as we've found out with the podcast, it's reaching the audience in a new way. And also, we should mention that for those who are unable to listen to the podcast, that there is a transcript of the full shows, each episode, on the website too, isn't there?
There is, yeah. It's we learn a lot, and we've got some fabulous members out there that might not always be able to pick up or hear the online podcast. I know I listen to your podcast, Chris, as you know. I listen to it on my commute into work every day and on the way home. So for me, I can't live without it. But for those that aren't able to access that podcast, they can still read the transcript. We've started that at the end of last year, and I think we've had some really good response to it.
Well, lots to look forward to. A busy season ahead. I'm sure everybody back in the office is gearing up now after the holidays too. For those that do compete, because there's a lot of interested riders that work in the office too, aren't there?
Yeah, there are, yeah. And some of us who aren't riding as much as we used to but would love to be out there competing, we do have a couple of members or a couple of members of our staff that have already been telling me what their competition season looks like. And I know that you'll see them out there. So if you know who our staff are, say hi, and they'll do the same when they see you.
Very hands-on and knowledgeable staff, as always, at the USEA. Rob, thank you very much for coming on the program again. A very happy new year to everybody in the office as we kick off 2015 here. Lots to look forward to. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you, Chris. Happy New Year.
And joining us now from her winter training base in Aiken, South Carolina, is Caitlin Silliman. Caitlin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be back on at the start of a new season.
Well, you have lots to look forward to now with the acquisition of your new partner, Vagabond de Chandu, who I understand you called James in the barn. It's a lot easier.
It's much easier.
Well, let's talk about this new partnership, because it's a horse that we obviously know about at the USEA here, because he was the East Coast five-year-old champion at the Young Event Horse in the end of December, the end of 2014, of course. A wonderful, wonderful young horse and lots of promise there, so lots to look forward to. But tell us from the beginning here, Caitlin, how did you first meet him?
Well, I've sort of been on the hunt for a talented young horse since, I guess, the end of April or middle of April last year, when we decided to retire or move Remington to the next leg of his retirement with the Jabonin's granddaughter, Camilla, where he is happily running around the training level, I'm pretty sure, in pink bell boots. And I think it's what he was meant to do. He's happy as can be, and Camilla's learning a lot. So it's so much fun to watch him out and about with her. And I certainly learned so much from him in the two seasons that I rode him. So I'm forever grateful to Boyd and the Jabonin's for that. But since then, I've been looking for a young horse to sort of bring up the ranks behind my wonderful mare, Catch a Star. And I've been searching and searching, but hadn't, you know, made a big trip to Europe or anything like that. I've just been sort of looking around the competitions and people coming in for lessons and during teaching clinics and that sort of thing. And I think about in May, I saw Will Coleman at Virginia Horse Trials. And he told me about this horse that he had just bought in France while he was over there, and I'm pretty sure he actually bought him off a video, and he thought the horse was much bigger. He's a beautiful horse. He's a thoroughbred who looks a real athletic type, very classy looking, and he came over and got off the truck and was a bit skinny from traveling, and I think Will was a bit shocked at his size. So he had mentioned to me that maybe it would be a horse that would suit me, but said, give me a couple weeks, I'm going to turn him out and fatten him up and then get him going, and then maybe you can come down and check him out. So a couple weeks went by, and I asked him about him again, and he had him going, and he was getting ready to take him to his first event, and he was still sort of skinny and a bit small looking, but I think as Will started riding him, he was sort of hoping that he would bulk up and get a bit bigger and maybe be a good sized horse for him, because he's quite talented and Will started to get to know him. And he rode him a bit and competed him all summer and fall, and then took him to the championship at Fairhill, and I watched him go there and fell in love with him and begged Will to let me try him actually the weekend of his wedding down in Charlottesville, because I was down there for him and Katie's wedding. And I rode him and fell in love with him right away. Love at first sight. And I think that's how it has to be when you're picking a horse for yourself. You have to, you know right away. You can't convince yourself into buying them. And so that was that. I tried him, and we talked back and forth a bit about whether he would sell him to me or not. And I think with the help of his lovely wife, Katie Thornton, we convinced Will to let him go to me, because he certainly suits my size a little bit better. He's not a tiny, tiny horse, but he's very short coupled, short neck, short back. It's a small package, and Will is a very tall guy. So anyway, that was that.
Well, when you say you fell in love with him, Caitlin, as you mentioned there, it really is important to have that love at first sight relationship with a partner that you're going to hopefully take to the top. What was it about him and that endeared you?
I loved the look of him, and then working for Boyd. Boyd loves thoroughbreds, always has, and he certainly has bought a couple warm blood horses now, but especially after watching the WEG this year in Normandy, I think the horses have to have at least, you know, between 70 and 100% thoroughbred in them. Otherwise, if the weather conditions aren't perfect, they just can't make the time cross country. It's too hard on them at a big competition like the one in Normandy this summer. You know, the footing was knee deep, and it was a long track and probably the biggest track any of those horses had ever seen. And I think they need to have a lot of thoroughbred in them. And I think the sport has gotten away from that a little bit, because they all want, you know, all the riders want their horses to trot faster in the dressage and be able to show jump on the third day. And I think we've lost a bit of blood along the way with those on everybody's wish list on in horses that they buy. But it's hard to find. It's hard to find a racehorse that, if they've been at the track and they've raced, it's a long road with them, you know, turning them over into event horses. It's different muscles. It's a different sport. It's a different lifestyle. And so I think, you know, that although there's a lot of them, it's hard to find a very good one that will make it to the top, and you have to be very patient. Now, this horse never went to the racetrack. He is a full... all thoroughbred, which I love about him. He's very good old French breeding. He's out of Secret Singer by Elite Antique Mare, which is old jumping blood. I'm learning more and more as I do more research on it. And I think they trained him to run just a little bit. There's a video of him online freezing at the farm at home where he lived, but he never went to the track. I think he went to an event rider there that was just getting him started and ready to go to his first young horse competition when Will bought him. So that was the first thing I loved right off the bat about him, is that he's all thoroughbred. And then I just love the look of him. He's the perfect size for me. He's about 16 hands, 16-1. So he's not tiny, but he's also not huge. I'm not a very tall person. He's narrow, so I've got short legs, so my leg hangs down on him. And then he's got a short neck and a short back, so he's easy to put together and, ride very collected. And then I sat on him, and I love his gait. I love the feel of his jump. He's a different feel from my mare. My mare is sort of hot and zippy, and she's spooky, and she's a much different ride than many horses. But because I've gotten to ride so many different horses at Boyd's and all kinds of older, younger, all different levels of horses, I sort of know what I like and what I don't like now, the ones that I enjoy riding and the other ones that don't suit my riding style as well. And this horse just really suits me from the moment I sat on him. I just love the feel of him.
Tell us about the owners then. Did you put together a consortium? How did it work?
I'm working on it. So I'm very lucky to have enormous support from my grandparents, Tom and Belle Mare, and they helped me to buy the horse. And now I've put together an LLC for the horse, so all the legal stuff is sorted. And Seema Sonad was the first one to purchase a share in him. And so now I need to work on syndicating the rest of him. My grandparents will hold some ownership in him. I'm sure they'll keep one or two shares of him, but I'm going to syndicate him 10 shares of him. So I need to now get working on that. It's hard to sell shares of a horse when you don't have them in your barn. So now that I have him and I can make videos of him and people can come out and see him, I'm really hoping while I'm down in Aiken, I'll be able to put a good group of people together to own him and support him. And I think it's a really good opportunity for people that want to get into the sport. I know I'm a younger rider, but younger riders need backing as well. And I think, often people get a bit confused. I get to compete so many horses, which is wonderful, but they're all boys. So at the end of the day, I don't get to produce any of them all the way to the top level. So I need to have a young horse that's mine to keep and produce, hopefully up to the 4-star level. And I hope this guy's going to be it. So I'm hoping to put a group of people together to own him and see how far he goes.
Well, of course, he's at that wonderful age, 5 coming 6 now, perfect for you. Well, 6 turning 6 now. That obviously must be very exciting to have a horse at that age, Caitlin, to produce the way you want him to, because he's obviously had a fantastic start with Will. Tell us about your schedule with him now. Is he doing gentle work? What are the plans?
He's in work. I sort of was just playing around with him in Pennsylvania when the weather was good. I jumped him a bit there and did a bit of flower on him and just jogged him when the weather was bad. And now same thing down in Aiken. I'm getting to know him, getting a feel for him. He's on the schedule to do quite a few events down here. He's going to do a couple trainings and hopefully move up to preliminary at the end of the Aiken season. And then because he's only just turning 6, and I think he doesn't turn 6 until the summer, he's a young 5-year-old, a young 6-year-old this year. I'll leave him at preliminary for the whole year. And my goal would be there's rumor of them putting a 6 and 7-year-old 1-star class in at the big plantation field event at the end of the year. So I'd love for him to go to that and do quite well. So that's the plan for him. But it's nice to have a horse that is mine for as long as I want, and I can do whatever I want with him. So I'm hoping to get him trained really well and keep working on the base that Will and Katie have put on him, because he's been really well started. So I think he's gonna be a champion.
Yes, he certainly graduated from kindergarten with flying colors, didn't he?
He did.
Well, that's obviously exciting for you, but tell us about the other horses that you have in the barn, Caitlin, now that you're riding, as you said, down in Aiken now for the winter with Boyd and Silver. What else are you riding, and where can we expect to see you showing this spring?
Mm-hmm. Lots of them. I'm very lucky. Boyd and I have a very good system going, and I have the support of all Boyd donors, and they all feel comfortable with me competing their horses when Boyd can't, because Boyd can't do all of them all the time. So you'll see me out at all the local shows in Aiken. I think I'm out every single weekend riding lots of the young horses and the novice in the training. So I'm looking forward to that. I love starting the young horses and, you know, taking them up the levels and watching them grow and change. And so it should be a good Aiken season. Then I obviously have my wonderful Cactus Star down here as well, and she's in good form. She finished up last season so well, so I'm really looking forward to this season after a break this fall, after following Fair Hill. She feels like a million bucks coming back, so I'm really looking forward to this year with her. And I'm aiming her for Kentucky again.
Well, you've obviously a very busy season ahead of you, so good luck with your new partner, and we look forward to following him with interest, of course, being a young event horse champion. Now, I know that you have a training tip for this week, Caitlin. You're going to talk about transition, something we have to consider constantly.
I hear. So I've been thinking on this since you told me to think of a training tip. And coming down to Aiken, all of our horses, you know, they're a bit rusty. They've all had a little bit of a holiday and just been jogging, coming back. So they're sort of all getting restarted on the flat this week. And just really getting them over their backs and through and round and on the bit again and going in a straight line and moving off your leg. Just all very simple stuff, whether you're riding a four-year-old or whether we're riding around, you know, the 13, 14, 15-year-old seasoned advanced horses. And I think it's very easy, especially on the older horses, to stop practicing lots of transitions. You get sucked into doing the same thing all the time, especially not so much this time of the year, but in November and December. And I think it's really important for the young horses and the older horses to always keep doing transitions, whether it's trot, halt, trot, walk, trot, walk, trot, canter, walk, canters, just simple, simple transitions and being able to keep them in the same frame in the transition, whether it's a lower frame or a higher frame, and that they're easy transitions. They're doing it off your seat and your leg aids. It's not so much hands and stopping and starting, and it's got to all be smooth. And it's a very easy way to get them soft and over their back and really pushing from behind. And it's not difficult to do, 10, 20 transitions going around the arena. And I also think doing trot canter transitions on a straight line, on the long side is something that most people never do because you get caught up in doing them on a 20-meter circle when the horse is bent to the inside because it makes it easier. But being able to do them on a straight line and pick up, you know, your right lead or your left lead, depending on how experienced the horse is, I think is really important and gets the horses really tuned in to what you're asking them to do and very focused and pushing from behind. And obviously you can modify the transitions you're doing depending on the level of the horse. But I think that's an important thing to keep track of.
All right. Well, very good advice. As obviously you work through those training exercises in preparation for the new season, and this applies to horses of all ages, doesn't it, Caitlin?
It does. It really does. Like I said, you can modify it and doing transitions within your gait as well, trotting on the spot, then going into your medium trot, then trotting on the spot, you know, changing your speed. There's got to be 10 speeds within each gait, and the horses have to be listening to what speed you tell them to do. And you know, the advanced horses have 10 speeds and the 4 and 5 year olds might have 3 speeds within each gate, but it should be an easy transition between the different speeds you're asking them to go.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for that training tip, Caitlin.
You're welcome.
Again, the best of luck with your new horse and the other horses for the season. And thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And as always, this podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to your smartphone podcast app, so you can listen to them on the go at a time to suit you. And don't forget that you can keep up to date with all the latest news on social media at Facebook and Twitter, and also online at useventing.com. Until the next time, thank you for listening and enjoy your eventing.